Well, everybody does eventually, but for now, I'm all yours, professionally speaking.
Then for God's sake, get over to the station.
I'll do it.
Mazu, I thought you would be drunk and emotional by now, like the rest of my bloody staff in there.
I'd like my job back, if that's okay. But with a pay rise, a parking space, oh, and a free lunch.
You'll get on air within half an hour, or I'll sue you for something. Free lunch? There's no such thing, Mazu. Everything has a price.
You turn them down?
Hey, they were trying to turn me into Tony Blackburn with a tan. And he's already got a tan, hasn't he? Now, it would have been nice and all that, but it wasn't me, whoever I am, innit?
Oh, Maduna's gone to tramp.
Yeah, appropriately enough.
Now, ordinarily, I would admonish you for making an uncalled-for sexist remark.
And tonight?
Tonight? I might even tune into you whilst I'm in bed. With me dinner. See ya.
I'm a virgin! Never even kissed with my dog.
Yeah! I said I'd be breaking a few records tonight, and there goes one of the tackiest ones in history. But this one goes out to a very special friend. She knows who she is. If you're listening, I want to say thanks. Innit?
Come on, come on. Good to be back, good to be back.
Masala FM was written by Mira Sial and performed by Sanjeev Bhaskar, Nithin Soni, Mira Sial and Nina Vadia. The music was by Nithin Soni and it was produced by Liz Anstey.
You see, some people don't realise how complex radio can be. You know, I have to do loads of prep for this show. I have to get my herbal teas, find somewhere comfy to sit, do my nails, do my makeup. It's not easy. Anyway, next week at the same time, a listener decides to take matters into his own hands. And there may be only one man who can save the station.
BBC Radio 4 Extra, The Comedy Club.
That's all from me on the Comedy Club, and happy equinox, remember, for Tuesday. From then on, the nights are only going to get longer. I mean, it's practically Christmas, eh? Only 184 shopping days to go, or however many it is. Ho, ho, ho!
Enter the seventh dimension. BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Nick Briggs still here. And tonight, there's been a nuclear war and there's a radiation cloud spreading across the globe. But in Australia, life goes on as normal, for the moment. It's Mike Walker's two-part dramatisation of Neville Shute's unique vision of a post-apocalyptic world on the beach. So now it's part one, and you might like to know that following this episode, writer Mike Walker talks about the novel from which he adapted his script.
Jennifer.
What time is it?
7 o'clock. Oh, change Jennifer, will you? She's hungry.
Oh, I should think she is. She's gone, what, 5 hours?
Mm. Oh, she's very hungry. Oh. Come on, say that.
Ready? Oh, yeah, ready. Evo, Tugaloo, time for a change. Let's get you to something dry and not so smelly. Put the kettle on.
Oh, aye, aye, Commander.
Lovely morning again.
Mm, when isn't it this time of the year?
Morning, Princess.
Toast?
Thanks. I should stay at home. Have a day on the beach, maybe take the boat out and fish.
I ironed your uniform shirt. It's hanging in the...
Thanks, love.
Do you think they might...
They might. Maybe a ship. Well, anything really, but...
But you really want a ship, right?
It's been a while.
6 months, 3 days, and 8 hours and 9 minutes. Sorry.
No, I'm being selfish.
I married a sailor. I knew what to expect.
No, sweetheart. None of us knew what to expect.
It's all right, Jack. It's all right. Oh, it's all right. Here we go.
I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry.
What train are you catching?
The 9:05. I don't need to be in Melbourne till midday, but I thought I'd see if there's anything available in the shop.
Mm.
Anything we might need, so if you want to make a list...
Which you'll lose.
I'm very efficient.
You could lose an aircraft carrier.
I'll cycle down and get the milk before I go.
I could pick it up later.
No, it's all right. I could use the exercise. Morning, Mr. Paul. How are you today?
Oh, no worries. Usual?
Please.
You?
Going up to Melbourne. Navy Department. I think they've got a job for me.
Oh, that'll be good.
It will. Though it might complicate things if it's a seagoing job. Mary might have to come for the milk. She'll bring the money just the same.
Oh, no worries. Pay when you come back.
Thank you.
I've got more milk than I can use. Put 20 gallons in the creek last night. Maybe I should raise more pigs, but somehow doesn't seem much point.
Yes.
Something you could do for me.
What's that?
That little trailer you got on the back of your bike. I could use something like that. Get the wife into town for shopping. It's lonely for a woman out here. Not like it was before the war when you could still use a car. If I could get some wheels like yours.
Well, they're motorbike wheels. I found them in Melbourne.
If you could find some for me, that'd be better than money.
I'll have a look today.
If it doesn't take you too far out of your way.
No, I could get the tram.
They're still running.
As long as the brown coal holds out, we'll be able to burn electricity.
How long will it hold out?
Long enough.
Yeah. That's what they said about the oil.
Well, that came from the north. We've got our own coal. Better be going. I'll see what I can do about those wheels.
Good on you, mate.
The Admiral will see you now, Commander.
Thank you.
Morning, Commander. You may stand easy. Sit down.
Thank you, sir.
You've been unemployed for some time.
Yes, sir.
Smoke?
Well, thank you, sir.
Well, I've got something for you. Seagoing.
Well, thank you, sir.
I can't give you a command. We simply don't have the ships. I can't even put you in one of our own vessels. What I can do is post you to the USS Submarine Scorpion.
Oh, I heard that you'd come in, sir, but I don't know the...
The Wise and Watts?
Yes, sir.
Well, she was off Midway when the war began. Being atomic-powered, their captain assumed combat status, opened his sealed orders, which took him to Manila Bay, where the radiation level led him to the conclusion that there had been at least one nuclear explosion.
At least?
He lay off the coast whilst trying to raise US Navy command. He got nothing direct, some word from Mexico City, which is when he learnt of the escalation of the Arab-Israeli clash into full-on Sino-Soviet war.
How did he get here, sir?
US carrier and escort in the Pacific. Her captain was the senior American officer in theatre. In any theatre by then, I suppose. He advised Captain Towers to put himself under Australian command, since we were just about the only functioning... state left by then. So he established contact with our base at Port Moresby and was directed here. We were able to supply fuel, which leaves his boat as the only long-range vessel we have. Or maybe the only one in the world right now.
Well, there has to be a chance that other boats, Russian or US, have stayed out. They're still out there.
Well, Scorpion is the boat we've got. And I want you to be our liaison officer aboard.
How long's the appointment for, sir? I don't want to sound ungrateful, and I dearly want to be back at sea. But I have a new baby, and... Well, things aren't easy.
No. You're absolutely right. They're not. We could say up to 6 months. I imagine it'll be your last posting. I won't hold it against you if you decide not to go. A young wife and baby are powerful arguments.
Well, my wife's a captain's daughter. I don't think she'd ever forgive me if I didn't do my job. I was only wondering how long we'd be at sea.
Well, that I can't say. Scorpion's being refitted now, then she leaves for Port Moresby in Darwin to see what it's like up there. Well, after that, who knows?
Then thank you, sir.
Good. It's what I expected. Scorpions at the Williamstown Yards, you join her in a week.
Do you know if Captain Towers is aboard now?
He's not the kind of captain who would let the dockyard mateys mess with his boat when he wasn't around to keep an eye on them.
I was wondering if I could go over there and meet him.
Well, do that. I'll have your letter of appointment prepared at once. You can take it across. Thank you, Commander.
Thank you, sir.
Hold it there, please, sir.
Commander Peter Holmes, I have letters for your captain.
You have some ID, sir?
Yes, here.
Thank you, sir. Welcome aboard. You'll find the captain below.
Thank you. Captain Towers?
Yes.
Commander Peter Holmes, Royal Australian Navy. I have orders to report to you.
Next week, I believe.
Well, I was nearby and...
You want to be the early bird?
If you've no objection, sir.
Well, no. Glad to have you aboard. These are some of my officers. My exec, Mr. Ryan.
Sir.
Hello.
My engineer, Mr. Lundgren.
Sir.
Mr. Hirsch, chief of the boat.
Sir.
Chief.
You'll meet the rest as we go on. We're about to have lunch. You want a drink before we eat?
Oh, thank you, sir. Pink gin.
Okay, one pink gin and six orange juices.
You don't drink in port.
Uncle Sam doesn't like it. But hell, this is an Australian boat now. You go ahead, Commander.
If you don't mind, sir, I'd rather make it seven orange juices.
No problem. After we've eaten, I'll show you the boat.
That'll be splendid, sir. Thank you.
All right, gentlemen, if you'd care to sit down.
Sir, yes, sir.
Captain on deck!
Sir. Stand down, Chief. Only showing our Australian liaison around, Commander Holmes, Chief Walker.
Pleased to meet you, Chief. I'll try not to get in your way. Wow, she's quite a thing. I've never really seen anything like this before.
Down here, you can see the cooling units and the sealed area.
And you're quite right, Chief. You do have room to spare.
Room enough to practice my golf, sir.
Well, I would if the captain allowed me the time.
A lot more space than on the old boats, the ones I trained on. I graduated Annapolis before they brought in the atomics, so it was the old style, hot bunking, watch on watch. No damn room to swing a kitten days. Yeah. And this is one hell of an improvement. There, you can see the main and the subsidiary engines. Uh-huh. And of course, these subs, with their extended sea time and greater payload, were meant to ensure the peace would last. I guess that's a pretty damn sour joke by now. Still, she's a fine boat, and there's not a man on board who isn't proud to sail her. Would you like to see the missiles?
Ooh. If the engines were impressive, this is...
awesome. 24 Polaris ICBMs. Impressive. Maybe pointless. But that's between ourselves. We never got to use them.
There were no orders?
Too fast. Not our war. By the time it was, too late. Now they're just so much nuclear junk. Ballast, no more than that. But one hell of a toy. As we carry on, it's... Most of our comms links are up here, though, of course, we have buoys and blimps we can release when we need greater range.
Uh-huh.
If we need greater range.
Well, thanks a million, sir. It was fascinating. I look forward to sailing. When are you taking her out?
Sea trials next Tuesday. We're taking in stores Monday.
Perhaps I should join on Monday, too. Sometime in the forenoon?
Yeah, that might be a good thing. I hope to take a cruise through the Bass Strait as a shakedown, then report back and be ready to sail on Friday. The forenoon should do fine.
If it's any help, I could come aboard for the weekend.
No, I'm granting leave for the weekend. There won't be anybody on board apart from the watch.
What about you, sir?
I guess I'll study charts, maybe take in a movie.
Look, would you like to come down to Falmouth for a couple of nights? We've got a spare bedroom and... oh. Do a lot of sailing, and if you don't mind a baby in the house, we'd love you to come. And I know that goes for my wife Mary, too.
Are you sure?
Really?
Okay.
How about I come down for a Saturday night, stay over? I have to get back here on Sunday, but... yeah, I could do with sitting on a beach. Maybe taking in a swim? Yeah, I could do with doing nothing for a few hours.
Splendid. As a train gets in at 3, I'll meet you at the station. Oh, can you ride a bike?
Sure.
I'll see you then. Permission to go ashore, sir?
Permission granted, Commander.
Hey, Sharon. Honey, were you thinking we'd get there today?
The beach won't run away, Dwight. We'll be along any time. Junior's looking for his shoes, and Helen has to do her hair.
What is it about kids? They have to do their hair before they go to the beach.
Oh, don't be a grouch. We're on holiday. Relax. Have some fun. Polish the car or something. I know you love it more than me.
Oh, she keeps better time than you do.
Mind if I join you, ma'am? Sure is a fine infant you got there, ma'am. Bought a couple of bears from the house.
So? Good or bad?
Good. Oh. See you going until April. Nothing after that.
Oh, that's just about perfect. Only...
only nothing, really. Except it's an American submarine. Oh. I'll be seconded.
Not a command, then?
No ships. The Admiral made that clear. At least none that have fuel enough to go to sea for any length of time. No, the sub will be fine. USS Scorpion. I put up a bit of a blue by asking for a pink gin in their mess. We've seen settle. Good crew. Good captain. Towers.
Some of the girls mentioned him. Terribly handsome, they say.
Well, I didn't notice that. But you can see for yourself. I invited him for the weekend.
Oh, Peter. Oh, you sure that's wise?
He'll be all right.
They're never all right.
It'll be fine.
Will it? Don't eat sand, Jennifer. Remember the RAF man we had? Being in a house with a baby and nappies? Just being in a house with a family. It must be awful for them.
Towers is made of sterner stuff, I'm certain. It's only for Saturday night.
Well, hold Jennifer, will you?
Come to Daddy, Tug-a-lil.
We'll need to keep him busy. Do things. That was the mistake before. Too much time for thinking and... what does he like doing?
He wants to swim.
Sailing?
He's a sailor.
Right, we could go to the movies.
Not if it's American.
Was he married, do you know?
I don't. But, well, he looks like a married man.
Oh. What does a married man look like?
Well, let's see now. Worried, harassed, nagged.
Bite him, Jennifer.
Go on, bite him.
Well, get some teeth and then bite him.
Oh, that's nice.
Look, why don't we invite Moira Davidson? She's always good fun.
She's always drunk.
No, not always. She carries it well enough, and she's lively. Never a dull moment.
Yes, in bed or out.
No, Peter. She's not like that all the time.
Yeah, hello?
Moira, Mary Holmes. Look, are you busy tomorrow?
Oh, I'm always busy, so much to do. But...
but?
But if there's a party...
How did you know I was calling about... well, it's not exactly...
I've got a party radar.
It's someone Peter invited, an American captain, submarines. We thought we'd get some people...
So he doesn't have too much time to think about happy families.
Pretty much.
Look... he's not going to start weeping in my arms, is he, telling me I remind him of his wife or...
I don't know. Peter seemed pretty confident that he'd be all right, though.
Well, I don't have a better offer. OK, when do you want me?
Tomorrow, mid-afternoon. He's going to get the train from the city. Would that be OK?
Sure. Oh, and I've stopped drinking gin.
Really? That's amazing.
Oh, don't worry, Chook. I haven't given up. It's bad for the insides, it seems. So I switched to brandy. Did you know that Dr. Johnson said brandy was for heroes?
Oh, is he new? I thought it was Dr. Porter you saw.
I switched.
Oh.
Since this bloke actually recommends booze. I'll see you tomorrow, Mary. And I'll need about 2 bottles to keep me going.
Moira, you are a terrible woman.
Oh, tell me about it. Bye.
Bye.
Dr. Johnson?
looking good.
Doesn't need gas, just oats, a rub down and a friendly pat.
Don't we all? Well, I'll be on this run unless something came up.
Have I got time for a drink? I could murder a brandy.
Look, Moira, this is a nice guy, okay? Don't scare him.
They're all nice guys, Peter. All of them, every single one. I mean, they must have been nice guys, because see how well they looked after our world? God, I need a drink.
Moira Davidson, Captain Towers, US Navy.
Good day, Captain.
Ma'am? Peter, I hope I can ride that bike you promised. I haven't been on one for years.
We can do better than that, Captain. You get to ride on my Jinka there.
A buggy? I haven't seen one of those for years.
A buggy, that's what you call it. Climb aboard, I'll show you how she goes. Okay. Peter can follow on behind. Meet us at the house.
Okay, see you there.
We can stop off for a drink on the way. You set?
I'm set.
You don't mind stopping off for a drink? Pete's a dear and so's Mary, but they never have enough booze in the place. She thinks the smell of it gives the baby colic. You can have a Coke if you like. Pete said you blokes don't drink.
Oh, we don't drink liquor aboard, but over the last few months, I've drunk enough Coke to float my boat, so I guess I could join you.
Good on you.
Even if it is a bit early.
Ah, we don't do early anymore. Patterson's will be fine.
Double brandy on the rocks.
Thanks. Is that a whiskey?
That's what they call it. Don't think it ever saw Scotland, or Kentucky for that matter. Cheers, ma'am.
Down the hatch.
You, drink quite a lot, don't you?
That's what they tell me. Now it's your turn. What's your name?
Dwight. Dwight Lionel Towers.
Well, Dwight, I'm Moira Kate Davidson, and we have a grazing property about 20 miles away. And you're the commander of that submarine.
That's right.
Happy in your job?
It was quite an honor to be given the command. I guess it's an honor still.
Sorry, I was out of order. I can be a pig when I'm sober. Buy me another, will you?
Barman, another brandy over here, please. Double.
Coming up.
So what do you do when you're on leave?
Fishing, mostly, I guess. Peter mentioned something about a swim.
Well, that's easy on the beach. And there's a sailing race out of the club later, if that's in your line.
Oh, that would be pleasant.
There you go.
Thank you. Here, keep the change. And what kind of a boat does he have?
A Gwen 12. Really, it's just a box with sails, but she goes. I'll crew for you if he doesn't want to sail.
Well, if you're going to be sailing, shouldn't you go easy on the drink?
Hey, don't go all Navy on me. Our ships aren't dry. And don't worry, I'll be fine. Okay. Ready to get aboard the buggy?
Well, this is Australia. I guess it should be a jinker.
That's where you're wrong. It is a buggy. Over 70 years old. Dad says it was built in the States.
I thought I recognized it. My grandpa had one just like it in the woodshed up in Maine when I was a kid.
She's small, but tidy. Sail her close and she'll be right.
Oh, I feel guilty, Peter, taking your boat like this.
Not at all. I get to sail any time. Besides, if it wasn't for you, Moira would be crewing for me.
But she's not good?
No, she's good. She's a great sailor. She's also a great looker. And wives are wives.
She sure can wear a bikini.
What do you think of her lines, Dwight? Reckon you can handle her?
I think her lines are just fine, but we'd better get a move on. We're gonna miss the start gun.
Aye, aye, Captain. See you later, Peter.
Good luck.
Okay, let go all.
The currents are tricky as we come up on the head.
I can feel her turning.
You'll need to watch out or she'll jib.
I've got her. Here we go.
Here we go.
Brought you a tea. Oh, I thought you probably wouldn't want coffee.
Oh, it's hard enough sleeping as it is. I'm probably the first mother who wants her baby to wake up in the night.
It was a good dinner.
How are they doing in there?
You know, Moira, never a dull moment.
Well, that's what we wanted. How's he? I was worried about feeding Jennifer and, well, you know.
Oh, I think he's fine. They had a good sail. He capsized. She lost her bikini top.
If I know Moira on purpose.
I suspect the good captain is a tiny bit shocked by the wild woman of Australia.
Oh, it's getting late.
Should we clear up and let them go for a walk under the stars?
I don't know if she'll be steady enough for that. I think the sense of occasion has affected her more than him.
She didn't drink that much.
Got her own bottle.
We're going to get some air.
If that's all right, I'll help with the clearing before we...
Hey, no. Guests never clear in our house. Take a walk, Captain. Tide's out right now. The beach will be beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Yes. Look. Right out there on the horizon, a storm.
You sure do belt that stuff, Moira.
It's nice to be walking in the sand. Feeling the sand between your toes. The sea. The warm sea.
Peter said you were up late last night.
And the night before and before that.
Well, maybe you should try an early night.
What's the use? What's the use of anything now? What's Peter doing on your sub?
He's the liaison officer.
Oh, ever had one before?
No.
Why now?
We'll be cruising in Australian waters.
Where are you going? Or is that a secret?
I guess secrets are redundant now. The scuttlebutt says Port Moresby. Don't know for sure yet.
Isn't that out now?
Well, I haven't had any contact for quite a while.
So you couldn't go ashore?
Somebody has to go and see. We wouldn't surface or leave the ship unless radiation levels were...
But they aren't, are they?
Not as far as we know, but there's a lot we don't know. Vast areas are incognito. No one's taken any kind of a look at them. Particularly north of the equator.
I don't understand it. I mean, they used to say there aren't any winds that blow across the equator, so we'd be all right. Only we're not, are we?
You never were. Even if they've been right about the winds, you'd still have got the lighter particles, I guess. Yeah, I guess if there had been winds that blew, then we'd be dead by now, but we're not.
But we will be. It's getting cold.
Here, have my jacket.
Thanks. Why is it taking so long? Why can't the bloody wind blow and get it over with?
Well, maybe it's a period of grace. It will come. When the big weather systems in the south begin to generate again, we just have to wait and take it, Moira.
Why? We never dropped any bloody bombs on people. We minded our own business and got on with things. It wasn't our war. Why should we have to die because a country thousands of miles away? It's so bloody unfair.
It's all of that, and that's just the way it is.
You know, all my life, I wanted to see the Rue de Rivoli. I know it's just a street in Paris, but somehow it always sounded so romantic. Boulevards and cafes and waiters with big white aprons and...
Well, it may still be there. No one knows if Paris got a hit or not, or they all... Maybe it's all there like it always was. You know, the things in the shop windows, the sun still shining down the street? That's how I like to think about it. It's just that folks don't live there anymore.
No, I don't think so. City of dead people. I'll never have a baby like Mary. Even if tonight, even that, I would never have... Oh, bloody hell. It's not me that's supposed to be crying. It's all you blokes from the north. Not me, not us. We've still got it all of it. Every.
We should get that bloody door fixed. Whenever there's a wind, it just bangs and bangs. She asleep?
Like a baby. God, Peter.
Andrew, I love you so much.
Me too. Both of you. So much that...
You'll be careful, won't you?
I promise.
We don't want to lose you, me and Jennifer. We need you.
We need each other, sweet, and whatever else... Who's that, Moira?
Hi there. Don't worry, Miss Davidson's fine.
Oh, Moira.
Out like a light. It was that last half bottle that did it. I guess you folks should put her to bed.
Sir, welcome aboard. Good weekend?
Yeah, good enough. How's she doing?
Run up and ready, sir. Oh, and we've got another Rossi. The Admiral sent him across.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So who is this guy?
He ain't a sailor, sir, I can tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of scientist, I'd say. He's in the wardroom right now.
Okay, I'll see him. You better rig another cot in with Commander Holmes.
Sir.
Couldn't they have sent someone shorter?
Hi there.
You're not really built for submarines, I'd say.
Tim Osborne. I guess you must be the captain of the ship. Sorry to foist myself on you and... Yeah, you're right. 6'6" is not good for low ceilings.
We can cope. Don't worry, Mr. Osborne. Okay, just protocol here. On board, you address me as Captain Towers or Sir. Ashore, it's Dwight. That okay with you?
Absolutely, Captain. And if we're going to follow protocols, it's Professor Osborne.
All right. So, tell me what you're supposed to be doing here.
I have to make observations, keep records of radiation levels, atmospheric and marine, especially with reference to levels inside the hull. I understand we're going north.
And that's what everyone says, but I've been given no orders as yet. I'm expecting the Admiral tomorrow, so I guess we'll know by then. Do you expect interior levels to rise?
No, but we need to be aware.
No argument from me. You'll be bunking with our RAN liaison, Commander Holmes. It'll be cramped.
At my height, I'm used to that.
Well, welcome aboard, Professor.
Admiral on deck!
Thank you, Captain. You may stand easy. Let the crew go about their business.
This is my executive officer, Mr. Ryan.
Sir.
Commander Holmes, I guess you know, sir.
I do. And Professor Osborne.
Sir.
Admiral.
Well, we could go below, but somehow I'd rather stay in the fresh air as much as possible.
Well, you'll get no objections from us submariners, sir.
Very well. Captain, your orders are to proceed north to Port Moresby. To inspect, to observe, to record. But on no account to go ashore if there is any risk of radiation. We assume you will need to submerge by 22 South.
That's south of Townsville?
Yes. There are still people alive in Townsville, but you are on no account to go ashore or reveal your presence. Do I make myself clear?
Yes, sir.
This voyage is to inspect and to run up your boat. I want you all back undamaged and safe.
Yes, sir.
Oh, and I have this for you. The report from your colleague, Captain Dismore, in the submarine Swordfish out of Rio de Janeiro. It's the log of his voyage north.
Did he find anything that he didn't expect to find, Admiral?
I'm afraid not. He's moved his boat to Montevideo.
Things are getting hot in Rio, I guess.
They are. His call signs are included if you want to get in touch.
Oh, I'd like to, sir. We were at Annapolis together, and what he knows, we may need to know.
Very well, gentlemen, that is all. Good luck, and happy return. Oh, one more thing, Captain.
Sir?
If you have any time free this afternoon, my niece says she'll be at Patterson's Hotel.
Your niece, sir?
Moira Davidson. Ah, you didn't know. Thank you, gentlemen. Carry on.
Sir, sir.
Looks like you made an impression on Miss Davidson, sir.
I thought it was the brandy.
She's a good kid, sir. Brandy's just the way she copes. We all need something. If I may, sir. I'm sure the boat could function for a couple of hours this afternoon without the captain's presence.
Buy you a drink, Miss Davidson?
That's an offer no girl could refuse. And it's Moira, I told you. I think I told you. Actually, I can't remember everything I did tell you. anything I told you.
A large brandy, ice, no water, and a Coke, please.
Coming up soon.
You're not on duty now.
Well, I will be once I get back on board. How are you?
I'm a little embarrassed. Last thing I can remember, I was in your arms and going to sleep.
Well, you had a tiring day.
Now there speaks a gentleman. Actually, I was unconscious. Don't worry, it doesn't happen often. Actually, it never happened before.
Well, quite a lot of folk are on the streets there.
Drunk, tipsy at least. Yes, and nobody minds, not if they don't bother other people. I didn't bother you, did I?
Everybody has a right to go to hell in their own way, I guess.
In some ways, Dwight, you're a lucky man.
A large brandy and a cushion.
Thank you. How so?
Marcus Aurelius, the Roman emperor.
Mm-hmm.
He was a bit of a dry old stick, but somewhere in his diaries, he says that in the end, the only thing we have left is to do our jobs as well as we can. You have a job.
Well, isn't there something you could do?
I'm a history graduate. There isn't going to be any more history, Dwight. History stopped on August 12, 1961, when the first bomb fell. Sorry. We should talk about things that are safe, not about...
I like that. You're emperor, right? Well, yeah, I think about home, about the States. But I know that I'm here in Australia, in Melbourne, and I'm taking my boat out on a shakedown cruise, and that we're all going to have to take things as we find them. Day by day, we're going to have to handle them as best we can. Now, that's Navy, I guess. Was he Navy, your emperor?
More of a philosopher, really.
Uh-huh.
He educated his son to be the perfect emperor, only the boy was completely mad and almost ruined Rome.
Yeah, well, there you go, then. Best leave hopes alone and stick with doing the job.
Doing the job.
Doing the job.
Cheers. Or should I say, down the hatch.
Clear tower, prepare to submerge.
Twenty meters and holding.
Half ahead. How's she handling, Chief?
Steady as she goes, sir.
Half ahead.
Con?
All clear, sir.
Professor, is your equipment up and monitoring?
It's fine, Captain Towers. We're holding at a normal level.
Chief, your choir may proceed.
Choir?
A bit of a tradition as we leave harbor. The sailor's hymn. We submariners have our own last verse.
Amen.
Bless those who serve beneath the deep, through lonely hours their vigil keep. May peace their mission ever be, protect each one we ask of thee. Bless those at home who wait and pray for their return by night or day.
The boat is yours, Mr. Ryan. I'll be in the wardroom.
Yes, sir.
Commander Holmes, would you join me?
Yes, sir.
Coffee?
Is it the real stuff?
It is. Java for two, Wyatt. Yes, we'll sir. Take it black.
Thank you. So she seems to be running well, sir.
Hey, your dockyard people did a good job on her.
You gonna run on the surface?
As much as I can, once we've checked out all our systems. It saves power, and frankly, we'd all rather breathe fresh air.
How long do you estimate we'll be out?
14-18 days. If we don't need anything unexpected, and I don't think we will.
Here's your Java.
Thank you.
Oh. Does the Admiral know you've got real beans?
No, and that is one secret the United States Navy will not be sharing.
What is it, Captain? Chief said you wanted to see us.
We've got a contact.
Radio contact?
A ship.
Any traffic?
Mr. Ryan, anything?
Nothing, sir.
You should be able to see her with the naked eye, south-southwest.
Oh, I've got her. No smoke.
She might be hot.
I want you to install any long-range sensors you've got before we get within 5 miles of her. Professor, can you do that?
Give me a couple of minutes, I can, Captain.
Make it so. Now we wait. Chief, I want to be ready to go down fast if necessary. Mr. Ryan, please give Professor Osborne all assistance he requires.
Yes, sir.
Third ahead. Steer small, helmsman.
Third ahead, sir.
Didn't you see anything, Mr. Ryan?
Nothing, sir.
Prof?
Building slightly.
All stop.
All stop.
Tanker, sir. Bantu Wind, registered in Amsterdam.
No motion. You're dead in the water.
Mr. Ryan?
Bantu Wind. Bantu Wind, this is USS Scorpion. Do you hear? Do you hear? Is there anyone on board? Is there anyone on board? Respond at once. Bantu Wind, please respond.
Nothing. Captain, we should either submerge or back off. That ship is cooking.
Full astern.
Full astern.
Professor, if you'll get your equipment below, we'll detour around her and continue north.
She must have drifted who knows how many thousand miles.
For all we know, she'll go on drifting forever.
Out of the cradle, endlessly rocking.
What's that?
Walt Whitman.
Our position, Mr. Ryan.
Off Cairns, sir.
Chief of the boat?
20 meters, 30 clear below, sir. No obstructions.
We'll take her in. Lie offshore at the harbor entrance. The charts give us clearance. Take us to periscope depth.
Sir.
Professor Osborne, are you rigged for sound?
Rigged for broadcast and reception, Captain. Rads at normal.
Keep me informed. Commander Holmes, you know the harbor at Cairns.
Yes, sir.
I want you observing. The screens there will slay view the same picture I'm seeing.
Approaching periscope depth, sir.
All steady. Periscope up. Are you getting this, Commander?
Getting it, sir.
How's it look?
Pretty much as I remember it.
Cameras running?
Cameras running, sir.
Both of those ships look deserted. Can't see any signs of disorder.
Whatever happened here happened tidally, which I guess is something. Hold on.
I saw it. Was it moving?
There's something moving there. Maximum magnification.
In the window. Behind the window.
Sound up. Give me sound.
It's a dog.
I have it. There it goes.
It shouldn't be a dog. Is it sick?
That's difficult to...
It's running in circles. Doesn't look good. Cut sound. Professor, what are the rads?
Too high. Far too high. The dog should be dead. The wind out there is lethal, believe me.
But the dog isn't dead.
It will be. There are no exceptions, Peter.
Periscope down. Chief of the boat, take us out.
Sure.
Mr. Ryan, we'll continue north.
Yes, sir.
Half astern both, left rudder 17.
Half both, left rudder 17.
Commander, you getting this? Cameras on. Sound on.
Looks absolutely deserted, sir. Nothing moving there at all.
Mr. Ryan, mark our position.
Off Port Moresby.
Mark.
Release drones, release sonar buoys, release rad counter.
Buoys are on the surface and functioning.
Professor Osborne, will you activate the rad counter?
Recording.
And cut the damn sound, will you, Osborne?
Levels beyond lethal.
There's nothing for us here, gentlemen. Chief of the boat, take us back to Melbourne.
Yes, sir. Full astern both.
Periscope down.
Coffee, Professor?
No for me, thank you, sir.
Keeps you awake at night, Tim?
Are any of us sleeping?
Not many on this boat, I can tell you. Not without the dog's help. Peter?
Yes, thank you.
I'd kill for a beer, but settle for a Coke. So, Captain, did the voyage confirm or deny?
Well, it confirmed what Swordfish had in her report. They saw practically nothing in Europe or the States. They couldn't go ashore, of course, but... Well, I guess
Nobody really knows what a hotspot looks like.
And that goes for the whole Northern Hemisphere.
Probably just as well.
Yeah, there are probably some things none of us should go out and look at.
I was thinking last night when I wasn't sleeping that nobody will ever see Cairns or Moresby again.
And we've seen virtually nothing.
We ought to record that. I mean, is anyone writing about this?
I don't know. Could find out when we get back. Only there's not much point in writing something that no one will ever read.
No, I'd settle for putting down the things we do know. Here are your drinks, gentlemen. Thank you, Wyatt.
Sure.
Thank you.
Like, how many bombs were dropped? Nuclear ones, I mean.
About 4,700. Seismic records aren't that accurate, so it could be more. It doesn't really matter, since a lot of them were cheap, throw-together jobs, and they were very, very dirty. It started in the Middle East, that much we all know, and once it did...
There was no stopping it. Things went wrong, things went right, things went too damn fast.
It wasn't the big countries. Yes, they finished it off, but they didn't start it. They had too much to lose. The little countries, the poor, the screwed up, the believers, the fanatics. You know, they had nothing to lose. They were going to heaven anyway.
And now we're all going to heaven. Or hell. Seems unfair somehow.
You got 6 months, more or less. You've always known you were going to die sometime. Now you know when. Just make the most of it.
I have to say that I can't think of anything better than what I'm doing now. Being at sea, going home to my wife and daughter. Sorry, that was insensitive.
Hell no, Commander. I just told you we're all going to die. I think that was probably a little more insensitive.
It's not so much me dying, or you, or me dying. It's everyone dying. That's the thing. In less than a year's time, there'll be not a single human being alive on this planet. You know, we'll be done. We'll be finished. Over. And there won't even be anyone to know or record.
Or say, hey, you really, really screwed that up.
Well, it's not the end of the world. It's just the end of us. And I sort of think the world will get along pretty well without us. The ants will do fine. Hell, they'll do...
Sir, we're getting a signal from Melbourne.
Gentlemen, you will excuse me.
They're welcoming us back.
I guess they are at that.
Any idea what's next?
The captain's always the last person to know. Half astern.
Half astern.
It'll be a while, though. Long enough for some leave.
Oh, sure. Half of my crew have girls or new wives ashore. I couldn't keep them on board if I wanted. I'll have to report to the Admiral, and the XO and the Chief will have to give me a complete rundown on the boat's condition.
She seemed to run pretty well from the point of view of a non-submariner.
Oh, yeah. She's a fine boat. She'll do her job for as long as we need her. I'll stop, secure the boat.
I'll stop.
Maybe the Admiral will tell us. Looks like he can't wait to get aboard. Chief, I'll need an honor guard for the Admiral to the deck soonest.
Sir.
Welcome back, Captain. Gentlemen, be seated.
Can I get you a drink, sir?
Well, I hear your coffee is excellent, Captain.
I'm not sure where you heard it, sir.
I have my sources.
Coffee for the Admiral, Wyatt.
Yes, sir.
Now, I've read the written report you radioed ahead. Do you have any better news for me, Captain?
Well, we've got plenty of data.
The scientific material will be in my subsidiary report, Admiral. But I can say that north of 20, we couldn't go on deck. And I wouldn't recommend it a couple of degrees further south.
Well, no sickness.
A case of measles, God knows where that came from.
No signs of life at all once you were in the zone?
None at all, beyond latitude 20. No seabirds, nothing above the water. Marine life seemed untouched.
Disappointing, but not unexpected.
There is one thing, sir, that Professor Osborne came up with.
Well, go on, Tip.
Along the line, the radiation levels, though lethal to unprotected personnel, are not actually that high. If you look at the globe and imagine a thick band around the center where the radiation levels are off the scale, then extending north and south, there are increasingly lower readings.
Till you get to Melbourne, where we're okay, for now.
So, on the line, I see no reason why personnel protected by insulating suits carrying oxygen shouldn't work for some hours out in the open. This would allow us to penetrate far further ashore than we've been able to do so far. That's all in my report.
Well, thank you, Professor. I will take that under advisement. Very well, Captain. 10 days shore leave, and I shall talk to you again once the Joint Chiefs and the Prime Minister have considered your report. Thank you, gentlemen.
Sir.
What'll you do, Tim? Get back to the lab. There's a few ideas I've been throwing around in the privacy of my own head. See what I can come up with.
Captain, or are we near enough to shore for me to call you Dwight?
It'll do, Prof.
You have any plans?
I don't know. Maybe.
Why not start at least by coming down to us next Sunday? We'll have a barbecue on the beach.
Measles. They're bad for babies. It could be...
It's all right. I'm not infectious. The doc checked me over. I'm quite safe.
Good. But maybe we'll let Jennifer sleep on her own just in case.
No, I'm all for that. Oh, and I did as you asked. Dwight Towers is coming over on Sunday for a barbecue. It's all right if he stays with us, isn't it?
I think Moira might have other ideas about where he's staying.
Well, I'm not sure.
She called half a dozen times whilst you were away to see if there was any news. Oh, she was the one who insisted we invite him over.
She really does like this bloke, doesn't she?
I hope so.
What do you mean?
Well, she's 23 and she's never been in love with anyone. It's so sad not to have been in love. See? Jennifer agrees.
Well, I wonder what Captain Towers thinks about that.
Oh, I don't think he knows anything about it yet.
Did he catch any fish?
Not a thing. But then we were the ones who were inside the sardine can.
What did the Admiral say?
Oh, not much he could say. I guess he hoped for something. What he got was our report. I think the Prof might have some interesting stuff.
The Prof?
Tim Osborne. He's something at the university.
Oh, he's quite famous. Uh-huh. Youngest professor in Australia. He was on the radio all the time. Not so much anymore.
He's very bright. A bit uncomfortable to be with sometimes, though. All logic and graphs. I'm not quite sure where the man is in all of that.
Oh, never mind him. How are you doing?
Well, I'm sort of hoping that you might let me take the reins, since you are the worst buggy driver I have ever seen.
Go on, then. You can drive my
Thank
buggy.
You.
Whoa! Boy, watch where you're going with that bloody horse, will you?
It's quite a spread.
Oh, there's land to spare. Though this is more than enough for Dad to handle now. There's no one looking for work.
You grew up here?
Girl and woman. Come into the barn.
Well, I'm not so sure I should.
Don't worry, you'll be safe. Up there in the hayloft, I made a secret den when I was young. Huh. Used to pretend I was Hawkeye hunting my enemies in the Great North Woods. I think they were the Great North Woods. Or was that the Little House on the Prairie?
I'm afraid I was an Edgar Rice Burroughs boy. Captain John Carter of Mars was my hero.
Oh, look!
It's a pogo stick.
This I haven't seen for an age. It's broken. But I was a champ bouncing around.
They're such fun.
When you're 10 years old, it is. But then you got everything in front of you. And... Hey, look, we'd better get over to the homes. They'll be wondering where we are.
Okay.
What we're getting up to. Come on.
Could we take those two trees out of the yard, do you think?
I suppose so, why?
We've got so little room for growing vegetables and they're so expensive in the shops. If we grub out the trees and cut back the wattle, I could make a veg garden from there to there. We could save a lot every week if we grew our own. It'd be fun too.
I could cut the trees down. They'd make good firewood, at least they would if we stored them for a year or two.
If we could get them out this winter, I could dig in the spring. We could have peas and beans and marrow. I could make marrow jam.
Sounds like a great idea.
And a flowering gum. I've always wanted one of those.
Take about 5 years to come into bloom, but if it was there, it would look terrific against the blue of the sea. Mm.
I went to Wilson's nurseries whilst you were away. He's got some...
Someone's crazy. Is it me or them?
Why do you say that?
What are they talking about flowering gum trees? None of us will be here in 6 months' time.
So what? Maybe they don't believe it. Maybe they think they can take it with them. Maybe they just want to plant a garden. Don't spoil it for them.
I wouldn't. Not for the world. None of us believes it's going to happen. Not to us. Everyone's crazy on that point, one way or another.
You're right.
Well, there you are, you two. Come get a drink. Barbecue's ready and I'm starving.
Anything else for you, Dwight?
Oh, no, thank you, ma'am.
Peter, I won't ask you, Moira.
Just another brandy.
I'm okay, thanks. I feel like I'll never stand up again. Okay, I was wrong. Excuse me.
Dwight, your sister ship, Swordfish.
Mm-hmm.
Where is she now?
Last I heard, it was Montevideo.
Hmm. Would she come here?
Well, she's got the range, so I guess she could bring some mail or maybe a few diplomats. I'm not sure there's any point, though. I know her captain. He's a steady guy. I don't reckon he'd,
I thought Peter said she was at Rio.
She was. She's heading south.
Radiation?
I guess it's heading south, too.
I just wondered if it, well, if it moves quicker along the coast or over land.
I don't know. Maybe someone's measuring it, and then when it gets here, they can tell us.
I better feed Jennifer. She's getting hungry. Excuse me, you two.
It's beautiful here. Sun, sea, the trees. Oh, I'm getting sentimental.
But it is, you're right. What's strange? What's so...
What is it, Mara?
There ought to be more people. It ought to be so crowded. There ought to be riots, crime, murder on murder. Why isn't everyone running south? Everyone in the whole world clawing and fighting their way south.
What? All of them ending up in the Antarctic?
Isn't it all supposed to be about survival? We go on fighting to live, to... Isn't that what Darwin said?
To carry on the species.
To have children?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe when it really came down to it, we were better than that. People sometimes laugh at good manners, trying to behave politely, but it's grace. Trying to act with grace in the face of something so impossible, so... I've been drinking too much this afternoon. I don't usually get this maudlin until at least three quarters of the way down the bottle.
No, I like it, Dwight. That we are better than we always believed. It means something. To act well towards one another is...
Sorry to interrupt, Moira. Dwight, they need us back in Melbourne as soon as possible.
What is it?
The Admiral said it was urgent. We should be there soonest. They're sending a car.
Well, if they're burning gas for us, it must be important.
You have any ideas, sir?
I told you before, the captain's always the last to know. I'm sure my XO and the chief are making ready right now. They probably even know in the galley.
Oh, there you are, Peter. Captain Towers, I've been waiting.
You too.
I was working on my car when a military policeman arrived.
What, you have a car?
A racing car. Ferrari. Always fancied myself something of a Fangio or Stirling Moss. Once I can find the time to get a bit of practice in, I might have a chance to prove it.
Any idea what it's all about, Tim?
Not a thing.
So let's find out. Captain Towers, Commander Holmes, and Professor Osborne to see the Admiral.
If you'll go on through, gentlemen.
Sir?
Sit down. I'm sorry for interrupting your leave.
That's all right, sir.
Sir?
Well, this is top secret. As of 1300 hours yesterday, we have been receiving a signal.
Is it the Swordfish?
Radio?
It's a radio signal. And as far as we can ascertain, the point of origin is Seattle.
Seattle? Washington State?
Yes.
That's impossible.
It's in the zone, sir. It's so far in the zone. No. It can't be.
We've checked. We've done everything possible to prove it can't be, and it still is. Captain Towers, I want you to take Scorpion and investigate.
In On the Beach by Neville Shute, Mary is played by Claudia Harrison. Moira by Indira Varma. Dwight Towers by William Hope. And Peter Holmes by Richard Delane. Tim Osborne is James Gordon Mitchell. The Admiral, Jonathan Taffler. Ryan, Ina Mirza. And the Farmer, Stephen Critchlow. Other parts are played by Chris Pavlo, Dan Starkey, Jill Cardo, Gunnar Cawthrey, and Robert Lonsdale. On the Beach is dramatised by Mike Walker and directed by Toby Swift.
And here's dramatist Mike Walker talking about On the Beach.
On the Beach is part of a genre.
which you might call the post-apocalyptic. And it's actually fascinating that an awful lot of English SF during the 50s, 60s and 70s, John Christopher, J.G. Ballard, a number of other writers, actually dealt with apocalyptic matters. And it was a recognisable subgenre of science fiction international, that basically if the world was ending, it was probably a British writer who was writing about it. I don't think Shute has ever been included in the canon of science fiction, and he did nothing else like this at all. But in any list of apocalyptic novels, then On the Beach has an honourable place.
And part two of On the Beach is at the same time next Sunday here in the Seventh Dimension on BBC Radio 4 Extra.
You're leaving the Seventh Dimension.
Tomorrow, Earth Search continues. That's James Follett's epic tale of the Starship Challenger's search for the mysteriously disappeared planet Earth. And there's more from the late Barry Letts, one of the great Doctor Who producers, recollecting his life and its connections with that madman in the blue box. I've been Nick Briggs. Bye for now.
Hello, it's Alan Smith here with some great late-night listening from BBC Radio 4 Extra.
BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Yes, it's 1 o'clock, and coming next, a showbiz legend chooses his Desert Island Discs. More of that in a minute. And later, it's a relaxing day for Alice and Chaz, while Nick is hatching a plan. That's in the omnibus edition of Ambridge Extra. Find out what's been happening in Borsetshire's most famous village at 2:15. But first, Kirsty Young presents highlights from the Desert Island Discs archive. In the second in our series featuring four comedians, we find out which 8 tracks, book and luxury item the late stand-up and TV presenter Bob Monkhouse took to his Desert Island. The original interview, conducted by Sue Lawley, was broadcast in December 1998.
Hello, I'm Kirsty Young. Thank you for joining me for another edition of Desert Island Discs Revisited. In our current series, we're exploring the world of the comedian, the acute observational skill and turn of phrase with which they transform ordinary events into belly laughs. But what sort of background do these jesters come from? Well, last week, Victoria Wood told us about the isolated childhood that she spent in a bungalow on the windswept moors, with little more than books and a piano to keep her company, whilst her depressed mother kept herself to herself. Well, today, we listen back to the Desert Island Discs of the late comedian and TV presenter Bob Monkhouse. He got his break at the age of 18, when he was doing his national service with the Royal Air Force. He managed to make his unwitting captain sign a letter that he had written to the BBC, informing them that he was a war hero and should be given an audition. The BBC bought the story, and the rest, as they say, is history. Bob Monkhouse became a firm fixture on British television screens, presenting chat and quiz shows, including Bob's Full House and Family Fortunes. He said his preference was to appear in front of a live audience rather than being on the telly, so here he is doing just that, at a gig recorded at the Hippodrome in Hume in 1984.
You know, they just discovered a poem by Daniel Defoe that tells the true ending of his story of Robinson Crusoe. When they rescued him, he refused to leave the island. Turns out, in this new ending to the poem, it says he found a native girl that he liked, and he sent Man Friday, you remember him, so he sent him back to civilization with these last requests. He said, and I quote, "Send me a still to distill what I will, and 10 sacks of barley for sowing." And duly a shipment of all this equipment arrived, and old Crusoe got going, cultivating the grain and collecting the rain, kept Robinson Crusoe contented. Then as autumn grew shorter, the barley and water combined in a vat and fermented. And then the girl and the castaway happily passed away years, and she loved all he taught her. They're still there, so it said, stoned out of their heads on Robinson's barley water.
Bob Monkhouse, appropriately enough, talking about life on a desert island. In December in 1998, my predecessor, Sue Lawley, cast him away to his very own desert island, a place to give him some respite after more than 5 decades in showbiz. But was he ready to retire quite yet? And did he ask to take an unlimited supply of barley water for his luxury?
My castaway this week is an entertainer. Now 70 years old, he's been in the business for more than 50 years. His faultless delivery and astonishing memory for lines and jokes won him top billing at an early age, and he went on through shows like The Golden Shot, Bob's Full House and Celebrity Squares to become one of this country's most ubiquitous and familiar celebrities. But the star with the self-confident charm, smarmy some call him, is the product of a difficult upbringing. His mother didn't speak to him for 20 years after he married.